Today we want to think on the subject, A Future of Hope, from Romans chapter 8. I want to read a number of verses to begin with. Romans 8, 18 to 28. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if you hope for that which you see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the last verse, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now sin brought havoc into the world, both to mankind as well as to the outside world. Before sin entered, Adam and Eve, back in Genesis, walked in a world of beauty and perfection. Genesis 13:10 tells us that the earth was well-watered plains. It was lush, green pastures, and it resembled the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve lived. And Ezekiel 28:13 tells us that there were precious stones. Now, not only did Adam and Eve walk in beauty and perfection, but they enjoyed physical perfection. There was no deterioration, pain, or sorrow in their bodies. And then sin entered. They disobeyed God. And Genesis 3:16 to 19 tells us that God told them, I will multiply thy sorrow. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Cursed be the ground. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it, and it will bring forth thorns and thistles. And to harvest you will do it with the sweat of thy face. And when you die, you will return unto the ground. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 22 tells us this. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. When we think of the world in which we live, we think of birds that prey on another bird, we think of animals that prey on other animals, and fish that prey on other fish, and insects that prey on another. And we think of that there's turmoil because of the decay in the realm of trees and plants, and because of the suffering of animals through disease and hunger and cold and death. And I understand that also the groaning is expressed in the moan of waves that are in the minor key, and the sound of the wind, I understand, is in the minor key, and the cry of animals are in the minor key, and the singing of birds, I am told, are in the minor key. So the creation groans and travails. And then we read in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit within us, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And so we, even though we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we still groan within ourselves. We still experience the results of the curse. We experience aching muscles, fatigue. We get headaches sometimes, arthritis. We get colds, flu. We have heart attacks occasionally. And there's cancer and broken bones and toothaches. And anyway, we groan within ourselves and experience many trials. I grew up on a farm outside the little town of Dysart, Iowa. And there was a lady that we knew real well, that her husband had been killed in the war. And she raised her only son alone. And he was a very godly young man. And he had the potential of being a powerful preacher. And he attended Cedarville College in Cedarville, Ohio. And then he backslid and turned away from the Lord and was not living for the Lord. And she was brokenhearted over that. And then I knew another couple back home that on a windy day that he was at the school and the roof blew off of where the school bell was, and it fell to the ground right where he was, and he was killed instantly. And then I have cousins. This one cousin had two little boys and a little girl, and she was always sickly, and she died at an early age. And then I knew a mother with a large family where the husband died, and the children were living in sin and rebellion, and one married and divorced three different times, and one was in prison a couple times. I have a brother with four children, and his wife had surgery for cancer once and had three other surgeries, which maybe were the result of cancer, I don't know. And then there was a mother with three small children, and the dad had pneumonia and lingered between life and death with a high fever. And then I went to Bible school in Omaha, and in Omaha there was a family with two sons, and one of them was killed and the other injured. And so many, many families experience real turmoil in their lives. And verse 23 says, we are waiting for the the adoption, or when we go to heaven. We are waiting for the time when all of this will be over. But while we're waiting, while we're still living here on earth, we don't have to go through all of these things alone when we experience problems. We don't have to experience them all alone. We read in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that uttereth he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to everybody that has received Christ as their Savior, and he's been given to help us in relation to our infirmities. Now, there are some people that say it is not God's will to be sick, or it is not God's will that a believer should suffer physical infirmities. God wants us to be healed, and so we have a whole host of faith healers going around the country, and we have multitudes of people that follow them and want healing. Now, God is still in the healing business today, but healing is not a spiritual gift given to certain people. It passed away during the days of the early church. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had problems, physical problems, and he sought healing three different times, but God never healed him. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, we read that Epaphroditus was sick and he nearly died, and it seemed like nothing could be done for him. And in 1 Timothy 5:23, we read that Timothy had stomach problems, and Paul encouraged his medication, or encouraged him to take certain things that would help his stomach problems. Yes, God does allow us to suffer and to face trials, but we don't always know how to pray when we face them, and we don't always know the will of the Lord. But as we pray, seeking the will of God in our trouble, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and God answers. And we need to remember in Romans 8:28 that God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we can thank God, even as a believer, that God cares for us, and he understands, and he gives grace and strength, and he comforts us regardless of what our need is. And verse 28 tells us that all things work together for good. There are no accidents with God. Whatever God allows to come into our life, it is for our good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, we read this: for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. And there it is hope for deliverance. We have the hope that someday all of this will be over. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, we read this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein will be burned up." And then verse 13 says this, "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." That's what we're looking for and waiting for. Back in Romans chapter 8, the last part of verse 23 through 25, we read this, "We are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You see, the Christian has hope. We have hope. Hope is the assurance of reality. It's not some kind of uncertainty, but we have the hope, the assurance that one day we shall be delivered from all the suffering and pain and things that we experience in this life. In verse 18 of Romans 8, we read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 5, we read this, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven crying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Years ago, there was a man named Clyde Smith, and he was laying in the hospital bed dying, and he is dying of Hodgkin's disease. And someone there in the hospital came and talked to him about the Lord and led him to the Lord, and he received Jesus as his personal Savior. And then he died in October of 1970. At the funeral, I am told that his 10-year-old niece went up to her grandma and said, "Grandma, don't cry. He's not suffering anymore. He's with Jesus. Just pat his hand and brush his brow. That's what he'd rather have you do." And this 10-year-old girl knew that when we get to heaven, everything changes and we're no longer suffering. We're no longer experiencing the heartaches and the trials and the problems that we face in this life. Now, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we've received Him by faith, then we have a glorious hope. We know that when we leave this life, we're going to heaven, and it's going to be a wonderful, glorious place. And the Bible says we will be with the Lord for all eternity. It won't be for just a short time. It'll be for all eternity. And we have that to look forward to. And so if you're going through some kind of problems or trials, just keep your eyes on the Lord. And remember that there's a wonderful, glorious future lying ahead. And we don't know how long it'll be before we go there. But we know that when we do leave this life, whether it's through death or whether it's by the rapture, we're going to go to be with the Lord, and everything will be wonderful and changed. How we have a glorious hope, and we should thank God for the wonderful future that is laying ahead for each of us who are Christians. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time in your word. And we thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin, that by receiving him as our Savior, our sin could be forgiven. And through faith in him, we could become a child of God. And we thank you, Father, that the day is coming when we will leave this life and we will enjoy the glories of the new life, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.